Well, hey there, driven woman entrepreneur, and welcome back to the show. It is now January 2023, and that means it's Get Organized Month. So I thought the perfect guest for our very first guest interview of the year would be none other than Amber De La Garza, the productivity specialist, host of the Productivity Straight Talk podcast. Amber is a sought-after speaker, coach, and business owner who helps folks just like us get out of our own way. Our topic today is going to be how to uncover the bottleneck in your business. Spoiler alert, it's probably you, and more importantly, what to do about it by developing the skills in how to manage and invest time, your most precious resource. Amber and I met several years ago at a podcast conference before I even launched this show. Now, you can tell that she is a goal-oriented person and an excellent coach because she threw down the gauntlet for me. When I told her I set a goal for myself to be a guest on Productivity Straight Talk, she said, launch your show, get to 100 episodes, and then we'll talk. And that is exactly what happened. I can't wait to share this conversation with you. I know you're going to get a lot out of it. Here we go. So I have to begin what I know is going to be an outstanding conversation with a little storytelling. I knew of Amber De La Garza, today's guest, for several years before I sort of accidentally bumped into her in 2019 at Podcast Movement. Now, I have to say, I had been a guest on a few podcasts by that time, but I did not have my own podcast. And so I recognized Amber, I approached her, I introduced myself, we had a short exchange. And then she told me, you know what, when you launch your own podcast and have 100 episodes, let's talk about you being a guest. Now, I'm going to guess she probably thought she would never hear from me again. But once I hit 125 episodes, I hit her up. And now here we are. So I've been a guest on her podcast, and she is now a guest on mine. I have so many questions for you. I am not going to ask you to introduce yourself because you are the productivity specialist, but I'd love to know why productivity and how did you have the audacity to declare yourself the productivity specialist?
Those are some great questions. And before I answer those, I just want to say thank you for this full circle moment. Thank you for reaching back out. I recognized your name immediately when your email came through. And now we get to both serve each other's audiences years later. So thank you. All right. So your question was, why the productivity specialist, right? Well, you know, I get this question often because it's not a traditional role, right? Even if you're having time management challenges or challenges in your business, you're not going to wake up one day and say, oh my gosh, I need a productivity coach. Like productivity is my, my challenge. Well, I got into productivity, you know, like most stories, it's a long journey. But in my past life, I did business coaching for real estate agents. I was a business coach that was paid by the brokerage. So I was a staff member. And I specialized in teaching real estate agents how to grow their business, how to scale through building their teams and business systems. And what I realized was that I was around what most people would consider absolutely successful. Financially, they're well known in the industry, they're top of the game. And they had this desire to leverage and grow their business. And yet, they would come to the coaching sessions and have one version of another of, I'm so overwhelmed, I'm out of time. I'm so busy working in my business, I have no time to work on my business. I'm so frustrated. The thing I love, I'm starting not to love anymore. Just really a lot of that. And I found that to be incredibly interesting. And so I did some other things in between. So I'm going to give you the Cliff Notes version. But I had a huge life-changing event, which was having my son. And so I had left this company that I had worked for 12 years. And I started doing consulting. And I realized that when I was doing consulting, what I specialized in was productivity, efficiency, teaching team members how to communicate effectively. Mm-hmm. And I made more money working a few hours being a stay-at-home mom and consulting than I ever had in corporate. And I was like, I might be able to be a business owner. Like, if I was a business owner, what would I do? And I remember thinking that if they, meaning these clients that I had had when I was teaching them business, how to grow their business, if they learn the skill set of managing themselves, managing time, and managing their team, that skill set has a rippling effect on any goals we have. Yes, we can lay it over business, we can lay it over health goals, personal goals, you name it. The skill set of learning to invest your most precious resource, which is time, I thought was incredibly valuable. So there was born the productivity specialist. There's a lot of business coaches out there, and many specialize in industry specific, or some are, you know, just women or men. Everyone has their flavor. And for me, I really wanted to sink into serving small business owners and specifically around productivity. So
this is such a great answer, because I realized that moment of fascination for you. Here you are dealing with people who are, by anyone's standards, successful.
Mm-hmm.
They're making money. They've made a name for themselves. They love what they do. They're known for it. And let's face it, when it comes to real estate professionals, there's almost no barrier to entry. I don't even think you have to complete high school. So there are people who, based on their investment into their career, they have gotten a return that is like a zillion X, right? And yet they're frustrated, they're resentful, they're fatigued, and they're even talking about hanging it up. I'm a super curious human. So that would have captivated me as much as it did you. I also think that, you know, calling yourself the productivity specialist, I hope, makes people curious, because when I first started helping entrepreneurs with ADHD traits, one of the first areas, and we talked about this on your podcast, one of the first things they wanted help with was time management. But in the beginning, I realized people are looking to be more efficient so they can get more done. But true productivity is not about getting more done. It's about getting the right things done. Because most of the time, people who get more done are getting more things done that they actually shouldn't be doing to begin with. Our topic today is going to be about being the bottleneck in your business. And I'm sure there's going to be a few heads exploding as a result of this conversation, because I don't think anyone sets out to be the bottleneck. And I think most people who are the bottleneck have no idea that they are. So let's start with the definition.
Absolutely. And I agree with that definition and description 100%. You know, as business owners, our businesses become so important to us, like our babies. We're so invested, and we would never purposely do anything to hurt our businesses. And yet, oftentimes we can become the bottleneck, and it's kind of like a fish that doesn't know it's in water. It's just, you just say, like, this is just the way it is. It has to be this way, meaning I'm doing the thing. And we're going to uncover, you know, some of the things we tell ourselves, where are some common bottlenecks. But ultimately, if you can acknowledge that you are the bottleneck, that might be the easier part of it. Afterwards is usually making some difficult decisions about how you need to change your business or invest your time, ask for help. And that's where I find people get stumbled on, is some mindset issues, some strategic issues that continually create these opportunities to be stuck in being the bottleneck to their business.
And, you know, as we talked about in the pre-chat, and I know we're going to get into a lot more detail, it's also not true that once you realize, oh my God, it's me, I'm the problem. It's not that I have a shitty team. It's not that my tech doesn't work. It's not that I've bought into the wrong systems. Like, all roads lead through me. I am the bottleneck. But it's not like you're going to address it and it's going to be one and done. Because I think, I think personally, I'd be curious to know what you think, a lot of the personality traits that most entrepreneurs have tend to make them more likely to be a bottleneck on a regular basis. They address it, they move it out of the way, and then the business grows some more and they're doing it all over again. And I'm speaking specifically to the need to have their hands in everything and the need to be in control.
Yeah, so you're touching on one of the underlying beliefs is that, well, it might not be the belief I need to have control, but it will show up in different ways, right?
Yep.
You know, when you're talking about being the bottleneck and it's not a one and done, it's not because our businesses evolve. It's not because our team evolves, the way we serve our clients. And really, every single time that happens, our role in the company changes. Mm. And so once the business starts needing something that you can't be the only one that provides, right? At some point, we are not our business. Our business is not us, but our business has needs that we are either not the best person to provide, or we don't have the skill set to provide, or that it's not the best use of our time because actually the business needs something. There's a higher calling for our special skill set that gets squeezed out because we're stuck somewhere in our business we don't need to be.
You know, you're reminding me of something. When I went from being the mother of one to being the mother of two and eventually the mother of three, that was so incredibly challenging because with one kid, I thought, okay, I know what I'm doing. And then I have another kid, same gender, completely different temperament. And I realized this kid needs something from me that I thought I knew how to provide because I have another son. Mm-hmm. But what worked for Brett is not working for Andre. And I'm imagining it's probably similar in our business and not necessarily because of growth. So let's sort of create a scenario together. I think that will really help the listeners understand what a bottleneck is. What happens when the business owner is the bottleneck? Why don't they recognize it? What can we do about it? And why does it tend to become a recurring pattern? I'm thinking initially, most people, whether you start off as a coach, a consultant, a service provider, an independent professional, an agency owner, most people have to start off and kind of bootstrap it. They do a lot of DIY, they have a lot of free resources. And usually the first hire for this type of business owner is a virtual assistant. And that person may be very part-time, maybe just on an ad hoc basis, but eventually you're going to need to hire someone who maybe not an employee, but they are a regular part of your business. And how would someone show up as the bottleneck in the business when it's at that stage?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm going to first just address that even if you do have a part-time virtual VA, I have seen firsthandedly being the bottleneck because you are not taking the time to communicate what it is you need or to train or to have systems. And so, you know, we may say, great, so I have this help. They can do this, but not that. And you start holding stuff back, right? And it's these little decisions that are compounded over time that even for a virtual assistant that's doing administrative, and it may even be things you don't love doing, but because of loops, stories we tell ourselves of, well, it'll be easier if I just do it. It's going to be faster if I just do it. Well, I don't trust anyone else to do this. Whether we're talking about a virtual assistant handling admin, or you're talking about hiring your bookkeeping out, or someone in management to manage your company, it's the same challenges and thought patterns that come up with regards to not wanting to let go. Mm-hmm. And I had the opportunity to work with Cartier, and I worked with their learning and development team, and the director, her name is at the time was Heather Nunez. And she had this just amazing motto, and I repeat it often because it's so well said. And she says, I want to move it from my to-do list to their to-learn list.
Mm.
And that's incredibly valuable because we really have to invest in others. But our brains say, invest. Long-term, I need this done now. I need this solved now. There's something in the business that has to be done now. And so it really takes us saying, no, this is a long-term investment because once I invest in others, what happens is then they get to invest in you and your business. But sometimes that feels scary. and a little risky. And so business owners have a lot of stories that, you know, they can be true, but they can also not be true. But what I would invite our business owners to consider is, are you letting those thoughts dictate the decisions you're making in your business? As in holding on to something, saying you are the only one that can do it. Mm. So I think that's a good place to just kind of start with, like, it doesn't matter the role. We say the same things no matter what.
It's the thought that if you want it done right, you have to do it yourself. I mean, I'm sure you've heard, I don't know how many thousands of people say that. If I want it done right, I have to do it myself. Or the time thing, like the time it would take me to explain it to my executive assistant, I might as well just do it myself. And here's a good excuse for not investing in developing that person who works with you. But what if I take the time to train them? And then they freaking leave.
Leave.
Or get pregnant or move or, you know.
All the things. And will they leave? Yes. My bet is you're going to be in your business longer than any single employee or team member is in your business. So if you let that hold you up, you know, you're never going to try. I'm actually going to share a funny analogy. So what was hilarious was you and I were going back and forth on the topic for today's episode. Mm-hmm. But on Tuesday in my group coaching program, it had come up about the hesitation to hiring and asking for help. Mm. And I'm on there and we're going back and forth. And I mean, they're adamantly telling me the reasons why they don't want to move through hiring, right? For everything we just said, if I hire, they're going to go. And then they said, this is us going back and forth. They're like, well, let me tell you about this horrible experience I had. Right. And I said, okay, let's hear it. Because I want to hear the filter, the lens in which they're making their decisions through. So we don't hear stories just to hear stories in coaching, but I wanted to hear it to understand what was motivating or demotivating my client from moving through making a decision. So she explains this really not great story. It is kind mm-hmm. of a horrific story of hiring out. And let me tell you, any seasoned business owner has that crazy story. Yes. I have them, right? It happens. And I sat back and I said, you know what? This is reminding me, I've had a few girlfriends lately that are single now and they're back on these dating sites. And I could just sit down and have a drink with them and hear the most horrible stories of this dating and these blind dates they're going on, right? But what if my girlfriend said, and I'm done. I'm never going on a date again. Love is not for me. I will just be single the rest of my life. You'd be like, you're going to get out there because your Prince Charming is out there, right? And yet we do the same thing in our businesses. Nope, I'm not hiring for that role again. Last time I did it, it did not work out. It was a horrible story. You know, you just wash your hands of it. You wouldn't give that advice to your best friend. Mm-hmm. So stop taking your own advice of not pushing through. I think there's a lot of lessons if you pull back the curtain and observe what went wrong when it went wrong. I think there's a lot to be said about actually having to go through potentially some rough hires to get to amazing team members. Because having an amazing team member literally will change your business. Mm-hmm. I can attribute the biggest growth over and over in the last 12 years in my business to two things: a great hire and hiring a great coach. Those two things single-handedly have changed over and over the pace or growth of my business. And so I'm going to tell you, I am encouraging you to try again and learn from what may or may not have worked. Which we can talk about all the things that may or may not be working with, hiring out and thinking I need to be the only one that does this thing.
And you delivered this during your group coaching experience. How did they respond?
I mean, they were just laughing and they're like, well, you got me. Yeah. The first lady goes, I don't see any connection to that example at all. You know, jokingly, right? But sometimes I think there's a lot of life lessons that we can see blatantly for other people blatantly in one part of our lives, but then we're blind and we don't see it in another part of our lives, like business. And so that's why I like to use a lot of examples, even outside of business, to bring home some business lessons.
No, I absolutely do too. And I'm also very fond of analogies and metaphors, because they can't guard themselves because they don't know exactly where you're going. And then they're like, oh, I get it. It's really interesting. I think sometimes it's because a lot of personalities feel safer when they're in control. But I also think, because you brought together the hesitation to hire and the hesitation to ask for help. And I think those are related but separate things, because I think there's a lot of us. I mean, let's face it. If you're going to become an entrepreneur, even though you and I surround ourselves with lots of entrepreneurs, there are people, we are part of this group, we are actually a distinct minority. The vast, vast, vast majority of humans want a job, have a job, and would never dream of having their own business, even though a lot of people think it's romantic or sexy. So if you're going to take the risk, if you're going to have the audacity to step out and start your own business, you kind of have to be at least a little bit of a risk taker. And yet, we don't want to be dependent on others. And you know, I'm a former therapist, so I'm going there. I'm thinking it's more related to not necessarily not wanting to risk disappointment, that this person won't be as fast, they won't do it as well, they might leave, but just the pure feeling of needing someone and depending on someone and what we make that mean, I see that as a huge bottleneck.
Absolutely. And I mean, that can come up from any areas. Like if you're used to people leaving you in your personal life, or maybe you ask your spouse for help and they're like, no. And then you're thinking, well, if they don't, how could I ask for help in my business? Like there's so many scenarios, or none of those things happen and you still feel like it's very difficult, you know, to ask for help and depend on people. And it's also very vulnerable, because if you think about it, if your business is at a certain stage and you have confidence that while it might be a little stressful and you might work some late hours, you can do it. Like you got this, like you've been doing it. It's like the devil you know versus the devil you don't. But then when you hire someone and by default, you're going to grow, you're going to expand, the business has now got more needs. What if they leave? How do you handle your role and their role? How do you still serve your clients? And that can feel very vulnerable to depend on somebody else, any role in your company, thinking that if they left, you no longer have a company, or you will be really, really inconvenienced, and that no one wants that.
Absolutely true. I also think for a lot of people, and I see this with a lot of the folks that I've worked with, they are the face of the business. The business began as an extension of them. They began as a personal brand. They achieved success. Now it's growing. Now they continuously raise their prices, but they still have more demand for their services than they can possibly meet. So then they go from doing one-on-one work to doing group work, and maybe that still isn't enough, or it's working, but it feels uncomfortable. What kind of bottleneck issues do you see happening kind of at that stage? I know they're really all the same, but how they might show up in someone's mind and in their behavior might look a little different.
Yeah. So what you're explaining is that if you're the face of the business and you're a service-based business owner, meaning you are what you're selling for many people, if it's coaching, or even if you're, say, an interior designer, it's like your special skill set that you're selling, right? Well, there's a lot of ways in which you don't need to be the bottleneck, but still keep the face of the business. So right now, you may be the person that handles all the way from, you know, marketing strategy to incoming calls, to filtering the clients, to going on every appointment, making every design, all the way to, say, installation, right? But you can still be the face and ask for help. Someone can send contracts out. Someone can help with estimating. Somebody can help with consultations. You could be the visionary for every project, but do you need to answer the phone for every client call, every contractor? And so what I mean is that if you can re-envision – the pieces that are uniquely your skill set or things that absolutely bring you joy, and start delegating off, hiring out for a lot of the other pieces that do not create the same impact, either for yourself or your client. Because when we say we're the face, it's a valid thing. So I'll take my business as an example. I am the face and I am the coach. Mm-hmm. But behind the scenes, I have a lot of help, which allows me to stay in front and have a lot of face time with my clients, because I'm not dealing with so many other things that it takes to run the business. So those are two very, very specific examples. If I said, oh my gosh, like, I'm trying to come up with an example in my business. I've had all kinds of examples. Oh my gosh, I am the only one that can do social media and marketing because nobody else knows my voice. Well, if that was true, do you know how much time I would be spending in marketing and content management and all of those tasks? Because I'm saying no one else can learn my voice. There's only so much time in a day. I would not be able to be as valuable to my business or my clients because my time is elsewhere. So I hope that answers your question. I was just using some examples to answer it.
No, I think the anecdotes and the examples are really helpful. And I'm also thinking that you are about to take several weeks off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I mean, that's like the holy grail for a lot of people, because your business is not going to come to a screeching halt. Your clients are continuing to be served. Your podcast is going to continue to show up in people's podcast players week after week because you created a team, because you created the systems, and because you trusted yourself and others to take some things off your plate. Now, obviously, in your speaking work, you can't send somebody out to do a training for a company or give a keynote or, I mean, it has to be you.
Yep.
But just about everything else, that getting your travel in, you know, sending pitches, responding to requests for proposal, sending out your media kit, like, you don't need to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, so that touches on the, you know, choosing to build a business model that supports your goals. So some people are going to listen to this and say, I have no problem working 40 hours. I don't have problem working on Saturday mornings. Like, that is actually what I want to do. And then there's going to be others that say, actually, I want to work 4 days or 4.5 days, every variation of that. If you stop listening to what it is you want, you won't build a business that supports that. And for me, it took holding a value of like, this is the life I want to live. How do I tweak and create a business model that supports that? And I think that's really important when you think of being the bottleneck. You know, for me, the last 4 years, I take anywhere between 8 and 12 weeks off a year total. And I don't now even work a full work week. But were there years that I absolutely worked a full work week? Absolutely. But I say that to say that there's different seasons of our life and there's different seasons of our business. I have different goals now. And so I've tweaked my business to support that. And you too can. Like, anyone that's here listening, is that once you start asking that question and you say, how can I run a successful business, but be more specific? What does that mean? Bring home X amount, serve X amount of clients. So you're going to be really specific. And fill in the other side. Be healthy. Have healthy relationships. Be off when my son gets off of school. Fill in the other side. And when you make that and formula, you start asking different questions. And when you hold that as a priority, you may be willing to walk through being uncomfortable, asking for help, hiring and delegating, because you value that equation of what your full success looks like. And so sometimes we need something to look up to and for, like we're reaching for, to push through a lot of uncomfortableness.
Hey there, it's Diane, and I want to thank you for being a listener to the Driven Woman Entrepreneur podcast. But you do know that you can only learn so much and change so much in your business and life as a result of consuming content, which is why I'm really excited to announce that my signature framework, the Boss Up System, is now available as a one-on-one coaching experience. I will be launching the small group experience of the Boss Up Breakthrough in just a few months, but so many women I've been talking to had a very disappointing year for 2022, and they just don't want to wait, which is why I've decided to open up just a few spots to work with people through the Boss Up framework one-on-one. How to know if this is right for you and if this is the right time? Ask yourself this. If you started your business to create a profitable, right-sized offer that is rewarding and allows you to stand out and be sought after, but what actually has happened is that you are over-delivering and undercharging and just not reaching your ideal clients with the perfect offer you have for them, this may be exactly what you need. There are 9 stages in the framework that we work through together, which include an audit of your business to determine what is and isn't working. We set appropriate goals, identify the obstacles that have been holding you back, determine the difference in your business between value and worth, craft your unique offer, and address price, fears, and boundary issues that have prevented you from having the business you want, need, and deserve. So if that sounds right for you and you don't want to wait for the group, click on the link in the show notes to schedule your free consultation. Hey, you already know you like what I have to say and how I think. What if this is the year that you have my eyes and ears on your business and really help you move the needle? Click on the show notes and see if this isn't the right time for you. I'd love to see your name on my calendar. Now back to the show. That is such an excellent point, Amber, because I'm thinking, most people hearing this thinking, wait a second, she takes 8+ weeks off a year. You're not closing the doors to your business during this, like, with the machinery keeps on rolling. You personally remove yourself from the day to day because you have other things that matter. When we know what else matters to us, when we allow other things to matter to us, and it's not just my business, because that is the nature of workaholism. When the business is the only thing that matters, and we complain about the business, and we complain that we can't find good people to work in our business, and we complain that the market is fickle and the market is saturated, and we have all these stories. But sometimes the real issue is we need the business to take everything from us because we don't know how to do the other stuff. I'm sure you've seen that too.
Absolutely. I mean, when I was going through my own journey, first of all, I love to work because I love my job. I love my clients. And for a long time, I was like, that is my hobby. It's my job. It's my everything. Like, don't judge me. Like, I'm doing my thing. And, you know, when I'm working, I'm, you know, being valuable. I'm not just working to work. And then I asked myself, you know, I had always had really good boundaries between like family and work. But then I started asking different questions of like, oh, what would it be like to like find a different hobby of gardening and, you know, just being experimental and see, okay, what else can bring me joy? And when you start playing with that, again, asking different questions, I had to solve different problems in my business to make that possible. So yes, to your point, I actually wanted to come circle back. I've got something on my mind I just really wanted to share.
Yes,
we've been
please.
Talking a lot about mistrusting other people. They're going to leave. They won't do a good job. They're not going to be the right fit. We depend on them. But I think what we don't talk about enough and that I see really often is that sometimes the bottlenecking is happening because we actually mistrust ourselves. And I want to explain that.
Please.
We may have thoughts, whether we verbalize them or think them subconsciously, and this is how we're making our decisions, is like, okay, so yeah, totally get and agree with the strategy of hiring somebody, but I don't trust I can communicate what I need. I don't know that I can train them to do it. I'm embarrassed embarrassed that my back end is so messy. I have no processes. I have no systems. I've been winging it and like doing this long enough. But what if I open that up and invite somebody in? They're not going to want to work with me. And who would want to work with me? I'm just such a small business. Like, I literally got shivers because I am quoting clients. I am quoting people that are business owners that can share that because they're uncovering it. Of course, it's a very vulnerable place. And so the antidote to that is what I believe is not common. You know, sometimes we're like, oh, it's a mindset thing. Just don't think that. Yeah. I don't know anyone that's worked for. So let's go with this. Sometimes that little voice is just a liar and you need to call BS on it.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes that little voice is your gut telling you something that you can work on and improve on so that you become more confident. So is it true that you can learn to delegate? Absolutely. Is it true that you can actually learn how to teach somebody things? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Is it true that you might want a few systems? You don't need to have all your systems in place to hire. Yes. So go do that. That little gut is actually telling you what might be the next priority to solve for so that you can confidently lean into growing your team.
I'm so glad that you circled back to this, Amber, because one of my favorite clients refers to me as the speaker of uncomfortable truths. So I love having conversations like this because the things that there's an expression, you're only as sick as your secrets. And so there is a lot of shame among business owners. I work with mostly female business owners. We are all socially conditioned to try to be perfect or at least look perfect. And so the number of people who have said to me, I don't know that I would want to bring in a bookkeeper or an executive assistant because they're going to see how messy and disorganized, and everyone talks about their messy back end, right? And it's like, but we don't talk about it enough to understand that everybody thinks their business is messy. And that's exactly why an assistant has job security, because the stuff that you either hate, can't figure out, can't get around to, is literally what they live for. And it's like, wait a minute, why would somebody want to clean up my mess and find satisfaction? It's like, have you ever paid someone to clean your house? Like, it's the transformation from this to that. A lot of people, why would you go to the department store and see someone in the cosmetics counter and get a makeover? Because there are people that love transforming messy to marvelous. So your business isn't any messier, more disorganized, more chaotic, more broken than anybody else's. But the thought that it is, that's your biggest, that's not even a bottleneck. That's like a complete blockage.
Yeah, it is. And it's a catch-22 because you're ready at, I call it redlining. I mean, you are maxed out working in your business. Mm-hmm. And so you say to yourself, you tell yourself a lie. You say, well, when I slow down and have time to fix my back end, then I'll ask for help. Okay, how's that worked out for you? Because you're not slowing down. And even if you slow down, are you the right person to clean up your messy back end? And when you hire somebody, that is when you will have time to say, this is the project I would love help with. This is how I would like my, you know, business to run or operate, and find people that can help you. You can only do that truly when you buy back time. You buy back time by hiring somebody, and then you take that time that you've reclaimed and you decide what is the best place to invest it in. And oftentimes for small business owners, it's going to be to invest it working on your business and not in your business.
That's absolutely true. I recorded a recent episode of the podcast walking people through the distinctions between a business strategist, a business consultant, and a business coach, because it's one of the other stories that we tell ourselves, because many of us either won't hire any help, or we hire the wrong type of help for the wrong reason at the wrong time. Of course, it doesn't work. We don't get the result we wanted. And then that becomes part of the storyline that, see, even when I did ask for help, even when I hired an expert to help me, it still didn't work. So there's a lot to unpack in terms of mindset. If someone's listening and they're thinking, oh shit, I think they're talking about me. Like what? And we are, because hand raised, have been the biggest freaking bottleneck in my own business, not once, many times over. I'm sure you have too.
Absolutely.
It's part of the human condition. It is part of the makeup, because we tend to be stubbornly self-sufficient. And it takes a long time and a lot of practice to get to the point where you first think, who can I get to do this, instead of immediately adding it to your own plate. So if someone's listening thinking, wow, I never really thought about it, but maybe this is the problem, how would they go about figuring that out? How would they go about answering that question? Oh, am I a bottleneck in my business? And what might be the first step they would take to start to deal with it?
Yeah. You know, one of the things that comes up when you ask that question is something that I actually give my clients. You have to want to do it. And so what I love to do
is ask.
Yeah, exactly, right? Like if it's a should and you're like, I know I could use some help. Here's where I love to start with is I would love for you to write out what your new role in the company would be. Because there's a sense of loss of identity when we let go of things.
Yes.
And so if we don't know how we are going to get to serve the business and what that role might look like, we hold on like clenched fist, white knuckled to the things that we are currently doing. And so, you know, we can be motivated by like fear, or we can be motivated by, you know, good things. I'm sure that's said differently. But, you know, when we think, oh, if I don't hire somebody, I will just have to keep working long hours. Well, I've been doing that fine.
You're used to it.
Or, yeah. Exactly. Or you can be motivated, which is the way I like to be motivated, mm-hmm. is like, okay, so what would this look like if I was able to let go of X, Y, and Z? What would my new role look like? What do I get to do more of that brings me more joy and has a bigger impact in the business? Write that job description. And when you can get clearer, not clear, nobody's clear. You first of all, it's not right. It's not going to be 100%. But just as an exercise, start dreaming. As you get clearer, to me, it always comes up naturally. You're like, oh my gosh, like I can't keep doing bookkeeping. I can't keep doing the social media and show up over here. I can't keep doing all the CAD drawings and meet with every single client because each business is different and each person is different. Only you doing this exercise are going to realize what are the things that you can let go of. And then I'll give you another practical tip. There's two places you should be letting go of something. Things that you are not good at. So you are recognizing that the business has a need and you are not the best person to be doing it. It is not in your zone of genius. Mm-hmm. Two is going to be that there is something that you're doing that does not bring you joy. Because when we think of business ownership, it's always a fight for our mindset on how we can show up our best. And if our days and our weeks are filled with activities that do not bring us joy, that's a harder fight. Mm-hmm. And I believe that we do our best and we are our most productive selves when we get to show up our best selves. So think about, you know, something that you don't enjoy doing, because if you don't enjoy doing it, it's taking 2 hours and you can hire somebody 1 hour to do it. Like just plain and simple, you're procrastinating, you're letting distractions come in, you're leaving it to the end of the day after dinner. There are so many reasons why you shouldn't be doing things that actually bring you joy, because you're showing up differently in your business doing those things.
You refer to the zone of genius, and this is a big area of focus in my work too. Mm-hmm. What I find, I'd love to hear your opinion on this. I think a lot of people, do find it challenging to acknowledge. And for people who are listening who are not familiar with the concept, there's like four zones of work that we might be involved in. There is the zone of incompetency. So like, you suck. You should not be doing this thing. And you're probably not, because you suck so hard that you wouldn't even attempt. That's your zone of incompetency. Then there's the zone of competency. You could do it. It's effortful. You don't enjoy it. You probably put it off as long as you can, but you can do it. But there are any number of people who could do it better, faster, and with more enthusiasm. Then there's your zone of excellence. In my opinion, Amber, most people spend most of their lives, if not their entire careers, in their zone of excellence. These are the things that you are good at. You've probably had education, training, experience, certifications. You've built a reputation in this thing. You acknowledge that you're good at. It does give you a sense of satisfaction, pride, joy to do. And it is not the singular thing that you are a freaking rock star at. You are brilliant at. You are a genius at. You are a singular sensation, because that is reserved for your zone of genius. I find for people to let go of the incompetency, no question, take it. It's already gone. Competency, yeah, sure, fine. You can take that too. Where I find people have the hardest time letting go, because it's usually a lot of sunk cost. I've spent years, decades doing this thing, but I know it's not my actual genius. What would you say to the person who, hey, like, I get it. Like, I've been a whatever for a million years. Like, I'm thinking about someone I worked with who was a teacher for many, many years. Wonderful teacher, professor, really good at it. But what they really wanted to do was to be a public speaker. Similar skill set, but being on a stage, giving a keynote instead of at the podium in front of a bunch of students, half of whom are just looking at their phone anyway, was really the change they wanted to make. And that was such a difficult thing that when we were talking about the different steps that she could take to begin to explore that, there were just so many rationalizations, excuses, avoidances. Yeah. And, you know, we understand it's something you've put a lot into, but if the bottleneck that you've created is that you've done things in your business that you are really good at and you're very attached to, and you know they are holding you back from going to the genius level, other than a lot of therapy and a kick in the ass, like, yeah. What do we do for these people? Because I know they're out there.
Yeah. I mean, what comes to mind for me, I mean, you touched on so much of it in the question, right? I mean, there's a lot of fear, and there's a lot of normalizing. You know, excellent is a great place to be. There's a lot of people that would strive to be excellent. I feel that there's this sense of calling or yearning, or maybe you may be excellent, but it doesn't feel joyful or fulfilling. Is to listen to that and to lean into what your zone of genius may be. So in the example you were sharing about your client, the advice is just go do it, which is what we give. Mm-hmm. But really, there are steps, right? And I'm sure you gave her those little steps after she was able to work through it. People have a hard time seeing that for themselves. Mm. And ironically, it was the advice I gave, is first see for yourself what role you want and what you want to be doing, so that that calls you more than the fears along the way. So I guess my advice really would be similar, is start envisioning it, ask for help on who maybe has done that transition before. What are some micro steps that don't feel as risky that you can start taking to get you there? You know, instead of just like, I quit today and I start tomorrow this new venture, is how can you tweak and do little course corrections? Now, I'm telling you that, but I actually have many examples in my own life that I've done this. You know, I interned for 2 years in real estate. I went to college and got a degree in real estate and double majored business management. Mm. I worked in a company for 12 years and I walked away from it. How could I walk away from it? Well, I pulled the through thread that I shared at the very beginning of today's episode that said, how can I take positive proof and wins of what I did in this other career and pivot and do it in this new career? And then, you know, it being in business now 12 years, I have pivoted many times. Mm-hmm. I was not always the productivity specialist. And I was not always as clear as I am today about how I serve the world. And that has come with continual feedback of looking for my own North Star, what brings me the most joy, what feels like the next leveling up for myself, which is always moving towards what you would call into your zone of genius.
What I'm hearing, and if I were to encapsulate this entire conversation, the through line is that you give yourself permission to evolve.
Yeah.
You acknowledge that loss may be uncomfortable, but you allow it in service to your continued growth. And what I'm also hearing is that you have allowed yourself to develop a sense of calling. And whether people call that a higher purpose or their ministry, their mission, their reason for being, that is so much more powerful and so much more energizing than any accountability or must-dos or because you're being led forward by something that is intrinsically magnetizing to you, as opposed to, I need to do this because I can't keep doing that. And I love that philosophically and practically, because we need something more powerful than the shoulds and the musts and just simply the desire to make our business life less effortful, to make those important leaps, to trust ourselves, to trust others, to do the hard work of letting go of things that we've outgrown. And that can become a continuous process. And you've also said you hired a business coach to help you with that as well. So I can really see in all of your answers how that's really the through line, is that you've allowed yourself to continuously evolve, given yourself permission to let go of things, and you kept looking ahead to whatever was calling you forward.
Absolutely. I mean, to say yes to all of that and just say that my belief is that we, by choosing entrepreneurship, have actually chosen something that gives us such a gift. And the gift is that I believe it's the biggest personal development journey we can go through, because we're always and continually putting ourselves in situations that are unknown and new and challenging. And sometimes we might feel like we stagnate a little bit, but my message or my encouragement would be getting comfortable with being uncomfortable, because I was not that way for starting out my business at all. But once I started embracing that dance, I started looking forward to it. Mm. And, you know, I can say that overall in my business. And I think that that is also great advice around thinking, okay, so if I'm the bottleneck, there's all these strategic decisions that need to be made in the business, financial changes, help, org chart, like you name it. Once you have said, I'm the bottleneck, you have to be open to how that can be fixed. And that's going to be change. Yep. And uncomfortable.
Getting comfortable with being uncomfortable, accepting. It's like, I don't know if you are a TikTok person, but a few months ago on TikTok, everybody was posting little videos with, I understood the assignment, right? And so I'm remembering that as the assignment, if you choose to accept it, of entrepreneurship is continuous personal evolution. And that is ultimately how you become the bottleneck, and then you get unstopped and you continue to do so, because it is cyclical. It'll happen again. But in service to your continued growth, your personal growth, as well as your business growth, that's how you get out of that bottleneck situation.
Absolutely.
I knew this was going to be an amazing conversation.
Yes, I've really enjoyed it. I mean, this is one that I think you and I could probably talk a half a day about or more. It is, you know, something that I'm passionate about. And I think that it's a conversation that, would you say you speak the hard truths?
Is that what you're calling? I'm the speaker of uncomfortable truths.
You're the speaker of uncomfortable truths. Well, it's very uncomfortable truth to say, you know, raise your hand and say, I am the reason my business is stifled. I am the reason that it's not growth. I am the reason I'm not making it home for dinner. That takes courage. And so this was a great conversation to that point.
Thank you so much. Thank you for being my guest. And to that end, tell people how you would like to be found by them.
Absolutely. Well, you can find all the things about me over on my website, amberdelagarza.com. I also have a podcast called Productivity Straight Talk. So wherever you're listening to this podcast, you can take a search and listen to one of my episodes and see if it is of service to you and where you're at in your business. And I like hanging out on Instagram, amber_delagarza.
Love it. I will make sure we link to all of that in the show notes. Thank you again, and take wonderful care of you.
I will. Thank you.